Hello, good morning. It's a funny old world we live in, don't you agree? Now, let me tell you my take on the funny side I'm talking about, because I'm sure you can tell me so many other funny sides you can think of. My funny side is that I'm looking around and finding a bizarre situation where every new leader in any of the democratic countries tends to be younger and younger. Even when we get the exception of the Donald, who is 71 years old, of course, younger leaders can appear in non-democratic countries, but they will either have inherited the leadership or usurped it through a coup of some sort. Examples are the current Kim Jong-un of North Korea and Bashar al-Assad of Syria, who inherited the presidency when they were only 27 and 35 respectively, when taking the supreme office in the years 2011 and 2000 respectively. They are now still only 35 and 42 years old. The late Libyan leader Gaddafi was only 27 years old when he succeeded mounting a coup to topple King Idris in 1969. However, here I'm more concerned with the democratic processes that are spawning these young leaders in recent years. The world was surprised when the Austrian electorate gave the young Sebastian Kurz a majority, albeit needing a coalition to form the government. He is only 31 years old. Before him was Jacinda Ardern, scoring a victory in New Zealand. And lest we go too far, let us not forget Emmanuel Macron of France, who is only 37 years when elected. Again, not too far is Leo Varadkar, the Irish Republic Prime Minister or Taoiseach. Hello. And how about Lauri Ratas, age 39, the new Prime Minister of Estonia? And last but not least, Justin Trudeau of Canada, who is, alas, an old 45 years of age. Even in Belgium we have the Macron-like figure of Charles Michel as Premier, and he is in his 30s. So, what is happening to these two English-speaking countries, our own UK and the United States of America? Here we seem to have a gerontocracy by the modern standards. We have Donald Trump in the States and Jeremy Corbyn in here. Well, there seems to be some interesting reason that could vindicate their rise to prominence. That reason is that they are almost unknown politically before they suddenly thrust themselves into the limelight. Considering all these new and young leaders, there appears to be a common thread that distinguishes these people, especially in the similarity of their program for government. They all point to the excess immigration as doing much harm to the fabric of their nations, whether it is Austria or New Zealand. And this aspect was well publicized by Trump himself, the United States of America, where, of course, Islamism and the way that the otherwise great religion has been portrayed by some ill-advised followers is another common thread, albeit with different emphases. So how is this happening and why? This must be the question that should intrigue anyone following these events, even if it doesn't generate a keen interest. The how is probably the easier of the reasons that would explain their success. It is simply the new age of the mass media and the internet. These young people are the generation who grew up not in the age of extended oratory and soapbox speeches. They are the generation of the sound bites and the 140-character tweets. Even Trump, his success is attributed to the new technology, and his tweets are still plentiful and legendary in their variety and confusion they sometimes create. These young people are able to reach millions of others for money contributions and for attention to their message. Of course, the first person to master this crowdfunding technique was Barack Obama himself, who was in his early 40s when he was first elected. More significantly is how Macron managed to form a totally new political party, En Marche, or Let Us Go, as it's called, in literally a few days and get an overwhelming majority in the French Parliament after he was voted himself with a massive majority as president. Recent English newspapers are repeatedly talking about the younger generation of British politicians who are likely to be ushered in after the so-called Thatcher and Blair generation decide it is time to hand over. So, are we to celebrate this trend, or do we remain wedded to the notion that the older the person, the wiser and the more experienced? There appears to be a trade-off, at least in a certain extent, between wisdom and experience on the one hand, and greater thrust and enthusiasm on the other. The first tends to a steady-as-she-goes attitude, and the other is for change, change, change. Well, I could safely stand on the fence, adopt a neutral position and say that we need both attitudes. But the real world is not like this, especially in recent times. The world is going at a faster and faster pace, and the changes required are greater and greater in their scope. If I would come off the fence, my gut feeling is that the younger generation of politicians will be more suited to present conditions. I admit that in this position I am accepting the inevitability of mistakes and miscalculations happening. My saving grace is that the younger ones are likely to be more agile in trying to admit and correct such mistakes. All I hope now is that I will not be proven as having been so naive as to stick my neck out in favor of the young. But as I'm also confident that you, my dear listeners, are more likely to be of the younger generation, I just hope I shall have your approval, even if we all prove wrong in future. At least we stuck our neck out together. Let us not forget that all the game changers in history were young people, not least the prophets and messengers of God, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, and Baha'u'llah, to name but a few. Goodbye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with The Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.